Scripture reading this morning would be 1 Corinthians 15, 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There are a number of thankless jobs. In fact, you might be surprised to know that there's actually a top 10 thankless jobs list available on the internet. Things like farmers. Today, most folks will eat some turkey and probably not give a lot of thought to the fact that that turkey was raised, prepared. That can be a thankless job. There are 10 of them. Teachers don't make a lot of money, and they're often abused by parents and students. It's often a thankless job. Social workers made the list as thankless occupations. Military people are often scrutinized and criticized because of decisions that politicians have made. So that's a thankless job. I haven't been thankful for an IRS agent lately. That's a thankless job. Garbage collector. I've never been a garbage collector. I've been accused of being one. My wife had a cousin. He was little. I was in the military, and it was the thing for military folks in time off to wear their camouflage pants and tennis shoes and a t-shirt. And we went to visit them on one occasion, and I was wearing that attire. And from that point until today, he has called me the garbage man. Thankless job. Window cleaners. I admire them for their willingness to hang by a thread, but we don't often thank them. They made the list. Paralegals do a lot of grunt work, but someone else usually gets the credit. An intern may be working for no money at all just to get the experience. And then police, fire, ambulance dispatchers who save lives and protect. But often their job is a thankless one because they don't get acknowledgement and the thanks that they deserve. You know, in some respects, being a Christian can be a thankless job or an occupation or an endeavor in life, a life endeavor. People don't typically thank you for being a Christian. It just doesn't happen as often as it ought to. It's, in many respects, a thankless occupation. And that kind of got the wheels to turning in my mind as I thought about who might be thankful that you are a Christian this morning, besides brothers and sisters here, but on a scale of, you know, other than just people who are like you, who might be thankful. And that got me to thinking, does the Bible ever say that God is thankful for anything? And unless a passage of Scripture has escaped my discovery or recollection, I have not come to know any passage in the Bible. I'm not saying it's not there. I didn't find one to where it says in so many words that God is thankful for this. But can we know from God's Word this morning that He is thankful for some things? I would not presume this morning to speak on behalf of God or to suggest to know what is going on in His mind other than what He has revealed in His Word. But this morning He has revealed in His Word an attitude or a mindset towards certain things that would suggest and indicate that He's thankful for those things. And so at the end of this year, as we draw, this will be the last Sunday sermon of of this year. A time today also that's typically a day where we rejoice and we are thankful and spending time with people that we love. I recognize also that occasions like this aren't always occasions of joy for everyone. This time of year can be very difficult for people. And for some of us, it may be the case this morning that we ask the question, am I doing this in vain? Does anyone appreciate what I'm doing or who I am or what I am? And even, is God thankful for me? Does God appreciate me for anything that I am or that I have done? I won't burn your food this morning, but I do want to give you five things that I can see very clearly, and you as well, from the Word of God that demonstrate His thankfulness for you this morning. And so here's the first one. God is thankful for you as an obedient child. If it is the case this morning that you are a Christian, that you've obeyed the gospel, and that you're living your life in accordance with His will to the best of your ability and acknowledging your wrongs when you fail, God is thankful for you as a child of His, as an obedient child. Parents are thankful for children that comport willingly to their desires and instructions. I know that, and I know you know that as a parent. You're thankful for children who are obedient and who are faithful to your instruction and your guidance in their lives. In John chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, records where Jesus said, "He who sent me is with me, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." It was in the mind of our Lord to do always the things that pleased His Heavenly Father. He was obedient in that respect. Jesus did what was desirable and pleasing to the Father. And don't you know God was thankful for that? Don't you know that God was thankful for Noah? In Noah's day, God looked down on the world and He saw in the hearts and the imaginations of men only evil continually. That's Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. But then verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In all of that evil, in all of that rejection of God, God could see one man that He could instruct and expect that man would do exactly what He told him to do. He was an obedient child of God in that regard, in that respect. And so when we, or anyone for that matter, does as children what God tells them to do and lives life in accordance with the instructions that God, as our Heavenly Father, has given us, God is thankful for us. You might work with people. You might live in a neighborhood of people. You might be related to people who care absolutely not one bit that you are an obedient child of God. But God cares. And God is thankful for you in that regard. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, John wrote, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to Him." There are things that we do that please God. And what that says to me this morning, and to you for that matter, is when people do what pleases us, we're thankful for that. When we do what pleases God, God is thankful for that. And so in the first place, God is thankful for you as an obedient child. And number two, God is thankful for you as a penitent child. We are often intolerant of the missteps of sometimes sincere people. We have kind of the attitude of Peter in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, when he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" We get tired of people misstepping, people stepping on us And even in their sincerity, and they come and they seek our forgiveness, it can wear on us. Maybe we get tired of it and we begin to think they're not really trying. If they were trying, they wouldn't keep messing up. But what if God had that attitude toward us? You keep messing up. You're not trying. And I'm swearing on me, and I'm getting tired of it. But when we, as obedient children and penitent children, children who are willing to recognize that we've fallen short of His expectations, we're willing to get up, we're willing to learn what we did wrong and how to correct it, we seek His forgiveness, and then we make a valiant effort to do better the next time, and the next time, and the next time. That doesn't wear on God. God is thankful for children who have a penitent mind and a penitent heart. Luke chapter 15 and verse 7 says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Joy. Joy is a word that is associated with thankfulness. It's a lot of joy today, especially with children who have received gifts. And that joy accompanies thankfulness and gratitude. It's a lot of joy for parents who have been able to give gifts. And that joy turns into thankfulness and gratitude for the blessings of life that have made that a possibility. And so when I see that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, that tells me that God is thankful. That we don't just try one time and give up and go on our way. Or that we don't mess up over and over and over again and take no regard, a little regard for the seriousness of that and do nothing, try to do nothing about it before our God. No, we are concerned about our relationship with God. And we're concerned about being recipients of the manifold blessings and promises that He has made to us. And so you and I keep trying. We're steadfast, we're unmovable, we're always abounding in the work of the Lord because we know and appreciate the fact that our labor before God is not in vain. It's purposeful. And even in our failures, we don't lose heart. We get back up and we get back on the right track because we know that labor is not in vain. Because God is thankful for you when you are a penitent child of His. Number three, God is thankful for you as a cheerful giver. I don't see a passage of Scripture that says God is thankful for you because you're a cheerful giver, but I see several other passages that say the same thing, just not in so many words. Most people are touched by videos or pictures or stories of selfless acts done by others for the benefit and on behalf of others. You might, in fact, if you use Facebook or social media, you might find yourself lost in time or a trance for a moment watching some of those things on the internet where maybe there's a video of someone doing a selfless act in order to help someone else. And you're touched by that. It's beneficial to us to see that because of the joy that it brings to our hearts to see people care in a world of people who seem to care more just about themselves than anyone else. And so we're touched by those demonstrations of love and kindness and selflessness. But when we reach into not just the purses and the wallets of a material nature, but even when you and I reach into the purses of our heart and we give for the benefit of someone other than ourselves, God takes notice of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, a passage that we often associate with our giving in part of, as part of our worship, and rightly so. But there's a principle that screams volumes from that verse as well that can be applied in other areas. Paul said, "This I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And rightly so, in our worship, when we give cheerfully, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but we purpose and determine in our hearts and we give joyfully, God sees that and he's thankful for that. But we can give more than money, right? We can give our time. We can give our help and our aid in so many areas. When people are discouraged in life, when they're living life through from November to January, and those happen to be very difficult times for them, we can give. And we can reach out and we can help. And don't you know that just as God loves a cheerful giver into the collection plate on Sunday, he's thankful when you and I take the time and expend the energy to come to the aid of someone who's suffering, who's having difficulty. And you might be at the end of this year and you might be thinking, what have I done this year? What of significance? What of note have I done that I can think of that has not been in vain, that's been useful, that's been beneficial? And maybe you've given a ride to someone. Maybe you've helped someone with a task or a chore that they couldn't handle. Maybe you've helped someone financially. Maybe you've given more to the building fund and the plans and purposes of this congregation. Maybe you've helped a missionary. Maybe you've just sat by someone and encouraged them in their loneliness. There are things that we do that equate to giving, thinking about someone other than ourselves, that bring joy, help, and aid to the lives of others. And God is thankful for that. And the most charitable deeds often go unnoticed by men, but not God. You remember Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with what such sacrifices God is well pleased." God is pleased when we share, when we make sacrifices, when we give, when we aid, when we help. And if God is pleased when he sees something like that, then surely it's safe to say this morning that he is thankful for the ones who engage in such acts. Who think about someone other than themselves, and they're a cheerful giver of money, of time, of resources, of words and gestures that help during difficult times. God is thankful for you this morning as a cheerful giver. Number four, God is thankful for you when you seek his help. There are a few things in life for people who are trying to help that would be more frustrating than to see someone suffering and not to be allowed to help that person. You could see they're struggling and they need help, but they're not willing to allow you to help them. They won't accept the help, and that can be very frustrating. That's why oftentimes when people thank us for our help, we might respond with words like, "Thank you for allowing me to help. The blessing is mine because you allowed me to help you in that situation." Imagine how frustrating it must be to God when we won't allow him to help. When we try to fly solo through our trials and difficulties, and we don't think to take the time to say, "Father, I need your help. I know that he's thankful when you and I allow him to help, because the Bible says as much. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter said, describing Christians as casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In a world of how many people? And how many, and what percentage of that has little or no regard for God, and they're struggling and they're beaten down and life is wearing them out and they don't even think to turn to him? And then what about Christians? People who have access and the ear of God and face the same kind of trials, because we're not privileged in that regard. Life is life. And we're all going to experience it. But the one great advantage that we have as Christians, among many, one is when we're in trials and when we're suffering and when we need help, we actually have it. And we know it, and we can seek it, and we can expect God to come to our aid. We don't have to fly solo through life and through trials. We can turn to God and ask for help. And so we're told to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. Do you know that? As you look at life and you say, is it worth it? Do I have anything to show for it? Does anybody care? I know, I feel very safe to say this morning that this room is full of people who care. But we're not always good at showing that. But even if that weren't the case, and there were no one here who cared about you, God cares. And he wants you, and he's begging you, really, through his word, to cast your cares, to come to him in trial, and to make your heart's desires and wishes known to him, because there's an abundance of help available for the asking. God is thankful when we seek and allow his help. God is thankful for you in that regard. And number five, and finally this morning, God is thankful for your completed Christian journey. You know, the verse could actually sound a little morbid if you didn't appreciate it in its context and meaning. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now we don't, from the world's perspective, you don't really think of death in that regard or that way, precious. But for a child of God, that whole concept takes on a completely different meaning than the way the world sees it. I mean, really, it's the end of the journey that you and I have not labored in vain for. Now, it's typically the case that we're not in a hurry for it to come, and that's okay. But from God's perspective, this morning, as we're talking about things for which he would be thankful, the Bible says that the death of a saint is one of those things. Why? There are only two ways through this world and out of this world. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 describe those two ways: a broad way and a narrow way. One on which the majority of people are traveling leads to destruction. A narrow way on which few are traveling leads to life. And that's the road that you and I are striving to travel today. Most people don't really care. They're happy to be on that Broadway, shoulder to shoulder with everybody else in the world, just going because that's where the majority of people are going. Must be the right way to go. They don't care. They have no disregard. They have no regard or little regard for where that road might take them. but not for us. We've actually looked at life and we've said, look, God has expectations of us. He has instructed us and He expects us to live according to those instructions. And you and I as Christians have determined that that's what we're going to do. And so each year that passes, we get to the end of the year like we are here this morning. And we look at where we're at in relation to God. We're still fighting. We're still pursuing His will. We're still traveling that narrow road that most people don't care anything about. One day, that journey will end. And while in many respects it's a sad occasion, to God, it signifies the fact that you and I successfully navigated a world full of sin. And we leave this phase of our life to go on to the phase of eternity that we spend with Him. That's the essence of what He had in mind when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, when a plan was devised in God's mind whereby He might make us righteous and redeem us from sin, the whole journey that you and I have traveled have been directly connected to His eternal plan and purpose. Everything that God has been about as it relates to you and me is connected to that sentiment in Psalm 116 and verse 15. That it's precious in the sight of God when the saint leaves this life to enter into his or her reward. And so if we listen to God, if we don't squander the inheritance that God has promised to us, He's pleased. He's thankful for children who live life in that fashion. And Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21 says, words that we ought to expect as His faithful children one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I don't fully know what kind of year you have had. I can only speak for myself. It may have been a joyous and happy year in all regards. It may have been a year of mixed feelings and emotions and expectations. It may have been one that has been very discouraging. And I don't know how often you ask yourself, is it worth it? Does anybody really care? But I can tell you very affirmatively this morning that God cares. And God is thankful for you as a child of His. He's thankful for you as a penitent child. He's thankful for you when you think beyond yourself and you give to help and to benefit others. He's thankful for you when in trials you'll seek His help and let Him help. He's thankful for you and will be thankful for you. When you go year after year, regardless of how many years you're allowed to live in this life, and you recognize that none of your labor has been in vain in the Lord, and you leave this life to enter into the next phase, the phase of eternity, He's thankful for you. And so this morning, God is thankful for a lot of things. A lot of things that have to do with us. And that's encouraging. So be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. May God help us to be reminded of His gratitude and His thankfulness for us each and every day of our lives. This morning, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to any who may be present who've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give God reason this morning to be thankful for you, to recognize you as one who sees his will and is desirous of doing it, to be blessed by God and to be saved by God. How do you do that? Well, his word guides us and directs us in all regards. And when we read it and we study it, it will produce faith. A faith that will help us appreciate how serious this matter is, this matter of salvation. And that sin has separated us from God, and so we must repent of our sins. We must turn from a life of sin to a life that is guided and molded by the Word of God. It teaches us that we must be willing to acknowledge Jesus for who he is, and that we're willing to confess that with our mouths. And then that we're willing to be baptized in water to have our sins washed away, to become clean and pure and whole according to God's plan and purpose. And then you're a Christian, a child of God, a member of the body of Christ, a passenger in the vehicle of salvation, ready to live a life that glorifies God and a life for which God will be thankful. If we can help you obey the gospel this morning, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation for some other reason, we're going to sing a song to encourage. You and I have the opportunity to examine ourselves and to respond accordingly. If we can assist you in any way, will you come as we stand and sing?